Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're pleased to be joined by Bill Bender of Sporting News. And we kind of been talking about, you know, the things we've been missing out on in sports over the past week or so. And the NCAA tournament, I think, is chief among those. Bill Bender wrote a really interesting piece for the Sporting News about the kind of the biggest upsets in the NCAA tournament since 1984. Bill, thanks for coming on this morning and joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Marquise didn't tell me I had to talk to Joe. I mean, I wouldn't have came on otherwise. Ah. No, it's great to talk to you guys.
Little social distancing bonus for you, Bill.
That's awesome. I hope you guys are doing well. So I honestly don't know what to talk about, so you guys just fire away and let me know.
Well, Bill, let's start there. I know you put together this list, kind of the biggest upsets in the NCAA tournament. Number one, how much fun was that for you to be able to put together and kind of go back and look at some of the upsets throughout the history of the NCAA tournament? And number two, I guess how much of a sobering reminder is that of what we're missing out on right now?
Well, I guess that's the start. I thought CBS did a good job this weekend of putting on some games that we could all relate to. Like, for example, my nine-year-old or eight-year-old son, soon to be nine, got to see the Leitner-Kentucky game, and we kind of watched that one in the entirety, and you kind of appreciate it a little more. And that's the bad part about that list is we didn't get to add to it. Another, like, shocking first-round upset. I mean, there have been so many through the years. I mean, obviously, UMBC Virginia takes the top spot, but I was really hoping we could add a couple more this year.
Well, you also, you've got some really cool things here on the NCAA tournament. The clutch shots, Bill. That's as much as upsets are obviously a huge part of this tournament, but like the buzzer beaters also, whether it's an upset, you know, or not. Those are the moments that I still remember the most, and I thought it was really interesting to rank the very top of that list. I went through it. I was like, okay, I covered 2018 and two. Two was, of course, Nova UNC. I think you could make a case for Lorenzo Charles, but you just mentioned the game that was on. Hopefully, if people were home, they were watching it. I think I saw you had video of your kid watching this, did you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Leitner shot. I mean, yeah, it's hard to beat that one.
Well, and I explained to Grant, too, that Leitner went 10-10 and 10-10 in that game and just finished it off with a perfect shot. I didn't know you were at the Villanova-North Carolina game. That had to have been awesome to cover. And just from the standpoint of I guess I would ask you that back, Joe, is when the shot went up, were you like, okay, that's in, like as soon as it left? That's how I felt watching it on TV.
Yeah, and, well, but the shot, of course, the shot that preceded it was the crazier shot, right? And actually, so we have, you know, Charles Robinson on here sometimes, my buddy who lives in Houston. He actually took video of the North Carolina shot and me, like, putting my hands on my head. I mean, a lot of people have made fun of me about this many times. Like, they're just shocked. Like, how the heck did that go in shot? And then, yeah, but I agree with you. You kind of, like, the way that play set up, like, you know, because it was just in rhythm and it was perfect. You're like, there is no way that's not going in. And, of course, right, it did. So, but, you know, when you combine those two back-to-back, those are incredible. You also had two on there that, to me, I'll never forget as a fan watching March Madness. That was in 1990 in, I think, New Jersey. For people who remember this, back-to-back games, one, Tate George beats Clemson on, like, a baseline turnaround at the buzzer. But then Leitner does it to UConn 2 days later. So it's Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, same building, and those both were pretty prominent on your list. And I thought that was dead on because that was just an incredible, just, you know, one building to see two shots like that.
Yeah, and then I think we all grew up, I'm going to assume Robbie's about our same age too, where the one that we always reenacted in the gym in junior high and high school was the Bryce Drew one, where the timing of that play, again, like when that went up, you're thinking, well, got a shot. And literally the day that we put this list out, I caught myself kind of going through all of these buzzer beaters and then rewatching them, even the one with James Forrest on the wing for Georgia Tech. And that's, again, I think you're right in that, yeah, I like the upsets too. I don't mind those. But there's nothing quite like that buzzer beater, because those are the shots you remember basically where you were every time one of them happens. Even if it's – I can't remember the kid's name, but the Western Kentucky one sticks out to me too.
Bill Bender on the line with us from Sporting News. And, Bill, I saw you tweet about this yesterday as well, and it got me kind of thinking. The Kentucky-Duke regional game from 92, where would you rank that in terms of college basketball all-time games for you personally?
Oh, it's the best game. I think it might be the best game across all of sports. It has that single sporting event. It would be on my short list. And the other ones on that list would probably be Game 7, Cubs and Indians, because I was actually at that one, and it ended the wrong way, but that's okay. But it had the wrong ending, but it was, you know, in terms of spectacle and all those things. And, you know, the college football games we've done, that's a hard one. I still think, you know, Texas-USC is probably on that list as well. And then I'm trying to think, you guys would disagree. I think the greatest Super Bowl of all time is 49ers-Bengals when Montana took them down and won. Now, I know there's been some pretty good ones since, but I still think that's the standard. Even though if you want to say Brady coming back from 28-3, that's fine too.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I think that's a tough one. I don't have an absolute no, this is the best Super Bowl ever. I will say that game was also great because we were in the era of so many bad games then. That was, you know, it was just blowout after blowout. And the next year, I think the 49ers beat the Broncos like 100-3, right? So to have that one sandwich in all the garbage games – I would that to me made it even better because we so badly needed one. And by the way, Robbie, you're gonna have to tell Bill how old you are. I mean, no, unfortunately, Bill, Robbie is not in our age bracket.
Bill, I was
just
born in 1992.
Seasoned.
Is he in the one before or after us?
I was born in 1992, but the good news is both you and Joe, I guarantee, have more hair than I do. So that part should be very encouraging for you both.
So, yeah, well, I made this mistake on the radio a couple weeks ago. I said that, you know, to somebody, and the guy said, I said, yeah, we're both in our 40s, right? And he's like, I'm 33. And I'm like, well, now what do I do here? because I've not only insulted your Twitter avatar, but I've insulted you, so I've got to do that. But, no, I do, and, you know, I just think Joe and I are lucky in terms of if you grew up around then. Like, I just – the 90s basketball era sticks out to me more than anything because, I mean, you spilled from those great Dukes teams to the Fab Five. You started the decade with UNLV, and you ended it with Michigan State winning in 2000. And I just – that to me is the golden age of college basketball in a lot of ways because guys were staying too. The Arkansas guys stayed. Corliss stayed for 3 years. He probably could have gone to the NBA after his first five games. And that's what I miss about college basketball, too, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, whether you like Duke or not, you know, Grant Hill, four-year player. I mean, imagine that now. I mean, it's comical, you know. And, you know, Leitner as well, although his NBA career wasn't great. But, yeah, you're right. That was until we got to about, you know, Kevin Garnett goes straight to the NBA, and it's – kind of a new wave, and more guys were just, you know, either staying briefly or not going. There were a lot more teens with seniors who were NBA players then.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, even as you got into the next decade, it was fine. But there were so many things in this tournament particular that I've thought about over the last couple of weeks. You know, I don't know if Robbie knows. Joe knows. I'm based in Ohio. I wanted to see Dayton make a run with Obi Toppin.
Oh. Yeah.
I wanted to see Michigan State make a run with Cassius Winston and his career and how that kind of comes full circle with Sparty point guards. You know, I wanted to see if Kansas could kind of win in the face of the NCAA, if you will, you know, and just go through that and what are they going to do with them being under investigation. And And we got robbed of that in a lot of ways. And don't get me wrong, I get the under. I know why, and it was the right call. And we're in. I don't know how it is down there in Tennessee. We are in shelter in place in Ohio. So yeah, it's a serious situation. But it's okay to miss what we missed.
Bill, last thing for you here as we wrap up here. Obviously, this is a question that nobody will ever be able to answer fully. But with the NCAA tournament being kind of robbed from us this year, as you said there, who do you think would have been the favorite to win and why?
I really think those two teams I mentioned would have been interesting in terms of Dayton with their star power, with Toppin and Crutcher. And I think America might have rallied around them a little bit once they got to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
At Michigan State, you can't go wrong. They would have probably been in my Final Four. And then, you know, I have a hard time getting off the way Kentucky was playing throughout the year. I mean, those would have been my three favorites to kind of get to the Final Four and maybe go from there. And then you always leave room for a sleeper, such as, well, I don't know that San Diego State and Gonzaga were sleepers. I'll believe it when I see it when they cut them down. And I think the next step for all of us, like I said, not to be a PSA or anything, but I'm a little worried about football season, honestly, if this thing continues to go on.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about that. Like, there's so much uncertainty going on right now that we've all just kind of assumed from the start that football season won't be affected and we'll have everything figured out by then. But I think, Bill, one of the crazy things right now is we simply don't know how this is going to play out, and that just kind of illustrates how serious it is.
Exactly. Well, as I told Marquise, anytime you guys need to talk, we can talk about it. I know we all have to fill out content and airwaves here. I wrote about cherry spitting last week. So anytime you guys want to come on and talk, I'd be happy to, and I hope you guys be well down there.
Hey, Bill, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, take care.
Good talking to you, Bill.
Absolutely. Bill Bender from Sporting News has been our guest here on Morning Drive. When we come back, what are some of the more memorable NCAA tournament games that stick out in our minds? That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.